Yeah, man. And so I don't have to pee right now. I can pee later when I get bored.
Okay. You know, the one tendril of hair sticking out from your headphones makes you look like a beautiful love interest in a high school anime.
I'm the lead singer of AFI.
Yeah. You need more hair then.
Are you around?
And some eyeliner.
This time I'm perfect.
Hello, everyone. I'm the lead singer of AFI. Who's aroused? I want to fucking kill myself all the time. All my songs are about killing myself. If I see a bridge, you gotta hold me back or I'm gonna jump off that bridge.
That was the plot of that music video. It's like, what if I just fucking killed myself?
And then the other one is like, I'm in a prison and I'm singing. Did you see the Miss Murder music video? We gotta review more music videos. Maybe that's our new segment.
I wasn't a big AFI head, so.
Yeah. You were born without a fire inside?
Yeah.
That sucks, man. So good having that fire in these cold months.
Yeah, that it's probably so explains cold. A lot with what's going on with me emotionally right now.
Yeah, you're cold inside without the fire.
Yeah.
Literally. Austin, I don't think we've talked about your music video passions.
No, sadly we have not. I mean, I don't watch a ton of music videos, but then when I do, it's because like everyone's seen them and then I'm delighted.
Right.
I'm trying to think. It's like,
so this is somebody that I used to know.
Right. Yeah, that's how I feel. Or just like the first time I saw the WAP one, it was just like it feels like I'm taking a time machine every time I watch a new music video.
When did you watch WAP?
I probably like 6 months after it came out.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like today.
No, it wasn't 2 hours ago.
Time to see what this whole thing was about.
Yeah. I need to
know what the kids are up to.
You know. Wow. Something that's really interesting to me is that all the conservative talking heads were really upset about that song, but now they're equally upset that you can't fuck an Eminem, and I'm just like confused. Like,
Katie,
which
nailing
is it?
The subject, you know, of the day. Which
being
is...
thirsty and conservative is confusing, I think.
Ooh. Alex, we didn't go through my... Oh my God, Lawson, that's so smart. Sorry, my brain just processed what you said. Yes, conservatives are very thirsty. I'm so mad because I made a list of stuff on Twitter I didn't understand, and then Alex refused to talk to me about it. So I actually had to look up what the Eminem was about. What did they change on her? They like took away her shoes? Like,
okay,
that's
we're gonna introduce the show, and then we're gonna have a long discussion about the gender of Eminems.
They Cinderella'd that poor Eminem.
Jingle jangle, what's that? You're walking through the doors of the casino. Here is another episode of Ballin' Out Game Time. Ring-a-ling ding. You won. You won another episode. We're hemorrhaging money over here. No one designed the machines correctly, and you win every week.
Yeah. Mm.
Welcome back to the show. We're your hosts and we love you so much. And again, we are triplets and we're wearing identical suits and you can't tell which one of us is which. I'm Alex. Remember my eyes. And I'm here joined by America's sweetheart, Katie Rose Leon. Sing a hello, Katie.
How would he do? If I stop dancing, they shoot me in the knees.
That's right. We shoot her in the knees. And here, our third sibling, whose knees are stronger than a rock, it's Lawson Leong.
Hey, if I stop shooting, they shoot Katie in the knees, and then I feel guilty about it. It's psychological torment.
The machine finds you at your weakest. And in our case, that's Katie's knees. Today, we'll be discussing which M&Ms you would slurp up with abandon.
What changed and why does it matter?
Okay. First of all, here, representation matters.
Okay, no, shut
up. You're so right, Alex.
Literally tell me what they changed. I saw a picture and I was like, that looks the same to me.
So I'm very familiar with online games. So this is actually, what M&M's is doing is actually an overblown phenomenon. They're merely patching the state of M&M's because there's a stale meta. And so right now there are two major changes, like subtle buffs and nerfs around the board, but they did a rework for the orange M&M, who is now crippled with anxiety.
He always was, though. That was his character trait.
But he wasn't enough. Like, now he's he's not showing up to work. He's his mouth is open all the time. He's medically unsound.
Well, he has crippling anxiety. Wasn't he supposed to be the crispy M&M, which was a famously fluked M&M that they kind of act like doesn't exist?
Oh, there's an origin to the anxiety? I thought it was just a
Alex, every
biological
M&M has
thing.
Each M&M represents a kind of M&M, and the orange one was introduced when they started making the crispy M&M, and then they're like, never mind. Fuck.
Let's look more into that now. But now he's like really upset and he's not doing well. And if you know the orange M&M, you should reach out, because he could. He's like pretty much the lead singer of AFI now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how risky he is, and that he might be dead at any moment.
Also, why is that? How does that sell candy?
Okay, so just a Google. If you Google orange M&M, you're getting a lot of clickbait articles on it. On Mashable, they're saying orange M&M is now a Gen Z icon because of its extreme anxiety. So,
but I thought Gen Z's whole thing was like they're hyper confident.
No, they have no future. They're like the M&M, who knows his body is destined for the cruel machine of the teeth.
Sell candy.
I don't understand these kids, man.
Like,
so old.
Like climate change will be eating younger people. Teeth will be eating the orange M&M.
He lives
a life that is damned.
Like, is this an advertisement? Like, they're like, buy M&M's, and then they show like a M&M taking Zoloft. Like, I don't.
Are we supposed to eat things that we relate to?
M&M OD'd.
I'm genuinely confused. Like, how is this rolled out? Like, why was there like even a press release for this? They redesign mascots all the time. It's a literal fucking drawing.
Well, you gotta tell everybody when you do that. B, this is just a patch update. So there's a lot of tweaks. I think this may have been somebody joking, but I heard the red M&M is non-binary now.
I don't think any of them are binary.
I was gonna say, fucking
well, they're chocolate gender inside, but what they're candy outside, and so they're binary.
You don't have gender when you're an M&M.
If your eyelashes are long, I guess
in the commercials they had like male or female voices, I guess.
Well, some of these M&M's were hot sluts. You were supposed to want to pound
out. But besides that,
I don't understand. Like, there's not like a press conference and when they draw Tony the Tiger's like handkerchief like a slightly darker red. Like, why does this matter? Like, I literally don't understand.
Well, maybe when we get into the other changes, it will be more clear. So,
is it about people trying to fuck these M&M's? Is that what this all goes back to?
It is, and they're trying to get in front of that and stop it before it happens.
You can't get in front of people trying to fuck.
If we find out there's a whole generation, and it would be an older generation of men with M&Ms jammed in their urethra, those are serious health risks that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to fix.
There was like a news story about a man who went to the hospital with a large ammunition in his asshole, and he was like, oh, I fell on it. So like, I don't know, I kind of feel like these men deserve to have M&M's shoved up their urethra if they're like just gonna act like, you know what I mean, just fucking, if you can't deal with it, then you just gotta just suffer.
This is why you are not CEO of Mars.
How
this is what I'm saying all the time.
Make money. How does this sell candy? I don't understand.
Okay, well, here's where we get into the other major change.
Yeah.
The brown one.
Okay.
It's either the brown one or the green one. One of the sexual lady M&Ms.
Okay.
Okay.
Used to be
Well, they used to wear like little go-go boots. Did they take away their go-go boots?
Yeah, okay. So the green one used to have go-go boots, and the brown one had high tops, or not high tops, had high heels. And she was kind of like a sexual secretary, Eminem.
Right.
Yeah.
The Forbidden Flavor, she was called.
Okay.
The green Eminem was more of a contemporary woman about town. But to kind of rebrand her, they're like, the green Eminem isn't just a $5 whore. She's a sneakerhead.
She has like sneakers now?
Yeah, she has like high tops.
Okay.
She's not, I mean, and the other Eminems also have sneakers on my dad.
The thing is, like, that's still an Eminem shape. And also, hot ladies wear sneakers, so I don't understand how this makes the Eminem less fuckable.
It's supposed to dial it down a bit. It's supposed to stop the green Eminem.
Why do people care?
Were the shoes, that was the deal breaker for these people who want to fuck the Eminems? Yeah. I don't...
You know, I
you look them up and down.
I follow this Twitter account called this Instagram account called Swipes for Daddy, where this woman only swipes on dudes who are like 50 and older, and like really like older dudes, and she just tries to talk to them and see like, and a theme is older men, like in the 55, like in the 60 range. They have very like 80s idea of romance. Like whenever she talks to them, they're always like, oh, you'll put on a silk stocking and a high heel, and like, I'll give you roses, and like, we'll eat chocolate covered strawberries. Like we're in a Michael Bolton music video. So I think for like a certain strain of straight man, they literally can't conceive of a woman's foot not in like a high heel torture device, which is really weird to me, because you take them off when you fuck most of the time, unless you're doing some sort of like domination thing. So,
but you don't to these gentlemen, because they want to leave them on. Because here's why:
we're
at the drive-in PepsiCo movie theater watching the most recent Back to the Future flick, and there's no space to take those things off. You just gotta leave them on. You're in my convertible Firebird.
I don't, okay. I actually understand Eminem changing, because like the mascots, that's just like what you do. And you try to, you know, they're corporate icons to sell things. So they're like, okay, kids wear high tops. The Eminem doesn't need to look like it goes to Euphoria High. It's a fucking Eminem.
But it does. And it's taking risky designer drugs. And only you can save it as a wiser,
so
more sexually mature man.
Is it okay? Why are they mad about Eminem's not being fuckable, but then like Cardi B is a problem?
So you're talking about like Tucker Carlson, and like that guy is like,
he's just like a
sexual freak.
We're
talking about two
freak.
Different things. He's just a nasty little creeper. Yeah. First of all, his name is Tucker, which is a dog's name. Can we say that? I've known several dogs named Tucker, and only have ever heard of this guy.
Okay. I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm so, fucking confused.
Katie doesn't understand.
That's a good segment. Katie doesn't understand.
But why are people talking about this?
I think it.
I mean,
you gotta.
Because if they know who Will Katie,
like, why
if
is
they know
what
we're gonna talk about?
It's like, why is it like a discussion point?
Is it, well,
like, what's
Eminem's
the point counterpoint?
They influence a lot of people, and so their presentation is very important to the candy community.
Is there a candy community?
There sure is.
Well, is there a slash r candy on Reddit or something? Is that a
slash candy? Let's look.
Look up the candy Reddit.
All right. I'm not searching through Reddit. I'm just doing reddit.com/candy. It re-diverts to music news.
Well,
I don't really understand that.
Yeah, that seems completely random. That seems like it's gonna go
anywhere. I don't know about all that. But yeah, so that's one of the big things this week is they buffed the orange M&M and nerfed the green M&M. But yeah, Katie said she wanted to go over the news of the week on the original episode, and I didn't feel like I could talk about because I had been falling down a mountain all weekend, but maybe together we can parse these things out.
Well, that's what this... That was my main question. My other question is, who's Caleb? And that I saw Jake play a card game with ducks on it, and I thought that looked neat.
We talked about that the week you were gone. That's Wingspan.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Is it a real game?
Yeah, it's a bird game for bird freaks. And guess what, Katie? I got it at my house.
How long does it take to play?
Like 45 minutes.
Great.
It's a bird of a time. I hate it when someone's like,
you're going to love this board game. It takes 2 hours to explain and 5 hours to play. You want to come over? And I'm like, absolutely not.
I think I said I would have a full bird game review, too. And I don't think we ever did it.
Yeah.
I like ducks. I like birds.
Yeah, I like ducks. Yeah. Bosses? Yeah.
I mean, ducks are, they're fucking, I mean, if I had to rank all the birds, they'd be in the top 5.
And you do.
I do. No shit.
Welcome to Lawson's Bird Rankings.
Rank all the birds. I mean, I like geese the most because they're badasses. And then,
oh my God, this guy is so lake pilled. He loves a bird on a lake.
I love an osprey.
Okay. Anyway. These are your top birds, mind you.
The top birds. Yeah, yeah. Geese, ospreys. Then secretariat.
The horse?
The horse bird, yeah.
A Pegasus. Fastest horse?
I choose a Pegasus. That's my number 3 choice. The secretary birds.
Is a Pegasus a bird?
That's a good question. It's a magical beast?
It's not.
It's a bird. It's not a bird, it's a horse.
It's a literal, it's a winged horse. Unless fucking thing's laying eggs, I think we're good.
Katie just has to step in here. It is no bird.
They definitely don't lay eggs. Yeah, you're right.
It's no bird and certainly no angel.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah.
These little doggies are nasty. Yeah, man. I don't really know much about the West Elm Caleb stuff because, again, I was out living my life in the world. But from what I understand, he's like a sexy guy and you got to look out for him.
that's the DL?
I don't know. It just seemed like, am I missing someone? Like, they just like went on a bad date? Like, it just didn't seem that crazy.
A lot of women identified that they went on a bad or good date with him. And then it was like, look out.
I'm not saying like ghosting or fuckboyery is good, but it kind of feels like a par for the course with dating, you know?
Yeah.
you're just going to meet some good ones and you're going to meet some bad ones.
People only come in so many types. And Caleb, from what I understand, sounds like he is the archetypal yellow M&M.
I just
and that he's hitting
like
it out of the park and moving on his way.
Queer. And if you're a straight man and your name is Caleb, that's just all the information.
Right, we know
what's
up from there.
gay Calebs and queer Calebs,
there's a spectrum of those.
But straight man Caleb is just like, you know, ladies, just read the fucking room, you dumbass.
God damn.
Wow, Katie. Really laying it down.
I hope he's not a rapist because now I'll feel really bad about this. But from what I understand, he's kind of a dick.
That. I haven't heard that that's the case. That is a different case. This is different from when I was defending Fight Club guy and he's in all the movies. And
Edward Norton?
No, 30 Seconds to Mars.
Jared Leto was not in Fight Club.
He was too in Fight Club. He has a small role and his face is destroyed and they just wanted to destroy something beautiful.
That was him?
Yes.
Oh, Christ.
Why do you love Jared Leto so much? It's so fucking weird.
Well, I just said he was underappreciated. I don't have a particular affection for him. And then people are like, well, he's a rapist. And what I'm saying is, I don't think Caleb's a rapist. I want to go out. I'm not in front of this like this is my orange M&M. And I'm saying Caleb has anxiety and he has to leave you because he's afraid of commitment.
He raped people? I didn't know about this either.
I don't know. You can't mention celebrities online. God, it's not safe. Don't know any of them.
Well, that's the thing.
I've been really enjoying knowing less and less about the things I like.
Yeah.
I've just been exiting from being knowing anything about anything and just back to civilian life, and things are way more enjoyable that way.
Right. I'm kind of a patch notes guy now.
I'm going to watch the Royal Rumble this year, and I know nothing about what's going on WWE anymore. I don't know anyone's personal business there anymore. I don't know anything about it, and it'll be fine. I might even like it.
Well, Triple H is grooming Gravedigger.
I'll probably watch it too.
Yeah. You know, it'll be fine.
I always like the Rumble.
Maybe that's something. Why don't you two tell me your little wrestling ideas?
Oh, that's, what do you mean, Alex?
Wrestling.
Yeah, pop. What the fuck do you even mean?
What do you mean
man?
Exactly?
I don't know. I don't know about this kind of thing, but I know you guys are always.
I don't. I really do not want to become even slightly associated with wrestling podcasting. We will be two buds that have a thing in common, but.
Okay.
You couldn't fucking pay me enough. Actually, you could pay me quite a lot and then I would do it, but I currently am not being paid the amount that I would need to be able to even consider
such a thing.
It's like it's funny that something that is essentially just like you know, big men choking each other out can have so much teen girl level drama.
It does. Mm.
And I'm not talking about the scripted kind that I like to watch. And I simply don't want to be associated with it. I just want to know nothing about any of their personal lives. And I just want to objectify them and their skills and their bodies like a normal person.
Right.
Lawson, any thoughts from you?
I mean, I've done wrestling podcasting and I still do it sometimes. But Katie's correct.
Thank you, Lawson.
I wish I knew less.
I mean, listen, I support the people I support, you know? You and Benel specifically, everyone else, I don't care. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in a world where I find out something bad that, like, Luchasaurus was, like, rude to a waiter. I don't want to fucking know that. I just want to have fun.
Yeah. No, I specifically have enjoyed being less because my Twitter is essentially in wrestling Twitter now. And I've been on Twitter less this year. That was like a New Year's resolution that I didn't make. I just started doing it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't make it, I just deleted the app off my phone. And it's been great. I enjoy wrestling so much more now that I don't have to listen to people talk about
it. See, yeah, that's how I feel about it. That's how I feel about the music industry, too. I, got too involved for a minute there. And I'm like, I love just listening to stuff, not knowing anybody.
Yeah.
Guys, absolutely. One important update.
Yes.
Just, I think that I have to announce this. The orange M&M is not the crispy M&M. It is the peanut. Or the pretzel M&M. And he has anxiety because he doesn't know who he is.
A pretzel or an M&M? Yeah,
a pretzel or an M&M. So just if you're updating your Wikipedia at home, that's...
I didn't know that was pretzel M&M. Those. Who the fuck's buying pretzel M&Ms?
Well, that's why he feels like this.
As someone who's biracial, I gotta say...
Oh, is this the representation you needed?
I've always felt like a pretzel M&M.
I'm gonna say, get your shit together, orange M&M. It's not that big a fucking deal, all right? You're a pretzel M&M. Fucking figure it out.
Figure it the fuck. You're 33. Figure it out.
It's not that weird, bro. Just fucking relax. No one gives a shit.
Listen, Pretzel M&M, I'm literally after this recording going to the Rite Aid to pick up my higher dose of my anxiety meds, and I look forward to not feeling a thing.
Yeah.
And if I could figure that out with my negative bank account, then you got it set. You work for fucking Mars, bitch. You're on TV. You work
for fucking Mars.
You can't get some lorazepam, you fucking asshole.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, the contracts they sign, I mean, that's a whole other discussion. But Pretzel M&M, if you're listening, you are loved. M&M's
unionized now.
You are loved and you are heard.
Unionized. The Tricks Rabbit, you don't see him anymore because he went... and he fought, and there was no one there to back him up. But if you all band together, who's to say you can't collectively bargain some high top sneakers and some lorazepam?
I thought the Tricks Rabbit was sent to jail for beating up a bunch of kids.
Yeah, it was
he had addiction issues, and he had no support from his community.
Yeah, a lot of people are quick to come out.
It was a societal disease. Yeah. Okay,
it truly takes a village to raise a.
It takes a village.
Zero loving rabbit.
If you're going to send that rabbit to jail, you should send us all to jail. Hey, it's time for Card Shark Tank.
Can we skip the fucking segment and just get into Yu-Gi-Oh, please?
That's right. With the sound of the Shark Tank theme.
We talked about so much stuff. We filled the time. Why torture Lawson?
Look, we got to do this segment. It's important. It's part of who we are.
Right.
All right. We can make it quick, right? Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's your money, but listen.
Yeah.
Here okay. on Card Shark Tank, we are billionaire and billionaire investors in the fucking fastest spinning chairs you ever did see.
Woo, woo, woo.
And there's a button on them, and they just send you I twisty spun so top mode.
Fast in mine, I threw up in my mouth.
Yeah, Katie's throwing up in her chair, and this week, Lawson's going to come pitch us a game, and we can't wait to hear from him, but we are not facing him, we are facing the other way. Lawson, welcome to the show.
Hey, backs of chairs, how are you, Lawson? I made a game. Wow. 2012. I have a game that's going to make you guys so much money, because there's no... The overhead
will it make me
is
come in 30 seconds?
Yes. Maybe 27 even. That'll make
I'm
it.
I'm listening.
Yeah. So what you do with the overhead is like non-existent. Because how much is a spork? It's like fucking free. They throw those shits away.
Yeah.
Right? They just give them to children. They throw
I'm pretty
they throw
sure
them
there's
kits.
Just a landfill filled with them right now. We could go dig it up.
I can't recall the last time I've even seen a spork.
Exactly. Because they're all in the high schools and in elementary schools, kids putting. Anyway, the
Kentucky
point is...
Fried Chicken. Does Kentucky Fried Chicken own the patent for the spork?
That can't be correct, because that'll fuck up my whole business plan.
Hold on,
it's kind of part of my whole game.
Yeah, keep talking. I'm gonna look into some stuff here.
Sure. Well, listen. Either way, what you do is you sell like 12 million sporks for like 5 cents to these kids, and the game is simple. You take the spork. You bend the back of it, and you fucking, and then you try to destroy the other person's front of the spork with the back end, the hammer side. We're gonna call
battle
it
sporks.
It's battle sporks, and you take turns, and you pull and you smash them, and whoever destroys the complete spoon part of the spork wins first. So it's battle sporks.
Exactly. What are those sporks?
Have you tested
made out
this?
Of?
Does this actually occur? I just feel like they're so weak that they would just.
Oh no, we've play tested this several times. Me and my friend in high school for 6 months played battle sports.
For 6 months,
we played battle sports all the time in 10th grade, and this is tested. They will, kid tested, mother approved, as they say.
So what's your plan to monetize these? Do you maybe give them out to spork athletes? And
yes,
with a
we
lot
get
of
we have sponsorships. Yeah, you sponsor the spork championships.
It could be a league.
Yeah, we build a league. And
Sonic
then kids
Fox
competes.
Already signed on.
Yeah. We get some inner city kids and then tell them we're going to like give them scholarships and stuff. And then makes us
Orange
look super
Eminem
cool.
Orange tried to kill himself with a spork last week.
Oh, God, no. Oh, well, we can take the branding back.
So you
we
know he it likes it.
Oh yeah, we can save the branding of it, and then also we're gonna partner with Big Sporks. that's really where the money train backs up, because they're gonna come in and help us with whatever other stuff we need monetarily and sponsor all these leagues and tournaments. So you're gonna just be raking in the dough. You just gotta invest a little bit, and it's like one of those big cryptos, just gonna pour money. You're gonna be leaking money from your pores.
Yeah, this is a safe bet. You can have as much money of mine as you need.
Sweet. Did your chair spin around?
Yeah, my chair spun around really fast.
I also spun around because I know some schools we can rob sporks from.
Exactly.
You're so handsome.
That's the type of entrepreneurial spirit we need in these trying times.
Can I just read some of the other combination utensils on the Spork Wikipedia?
Please, I would make my day.
Let's go.
So much better.
The chork.
You made that up. You're making these all up now.
The chork is pointed and slightly curved tongs, which can be used like chopsticks or as a fork.
There's
no evidence of it, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I've seen like an acne removing tool that kind of looks like that, but never as an eating utensil.
God, that's horrifying.
The Knorp, which is a knife fork.
Sally Knorp.
Sure.
Spoon straw.
Yeah, like when you get a Frosty at Wendy's.
Or a splayed, which is a knife fork. Although
Wendy's
spoon
now gives you a paper straw. Which is like drinking out of a fucking poster tube. I hate it. Yeah. Fuck the earth. Give me the plastic straw, you bitch.
Any old sailor worth their salt knows that at this point, if you're not going to give me a straw, you do that weird cup with the bubble top and the little opening in the side, and I suck on it.
Yeah.
True.
That's what I want to do. I want to suck out me goo.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway, that's a really good idea, Lawson. I hope you enjoy all the fucking money you got at in your bank account.
I'm gonna roll like a pig and shit in all my monies.
Yeah, why don't you take a minute and just be like a pig and shit?
I'm just gonna go do that real quick.
Take as much time as you need to squeeze. Episode, we're talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode
22.
JK. Let's go to the music.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Wow, I really love this recap episode of a recap. I love that you guys are about to listen to a recap of what is mainly a recap episode. And my favorite trend in Yu-Gi-Oh! Is how they'll recap shit that never even fucking happened.
I think that's cool.
Remember that time?
Remember that time in a show that never got translated and produced in the United States? So here's just a clip of nothing.
It's like a drama of Family Guy. This is a very good episode. It's called Face Off Part 1.
But nobody takes their face off, so why is it?
And it's Yugi versus Kaiba, the long-awaited duel from Episode 1 to Episode 22, Face Off Part 1.
They've made us wait 21 episodes for this rematch. Anyway, so Pegasus is telling Kaiba he has no choice. He must listen to him, or Mokuba will be stuck in a card forever.
I feel like Kaiba should have just brought a gun with him, and this would have just been done.
You can't bring a gun to a card duel.
I think he does have a gun.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
We talked about this last week. There's a gun edited out of the show.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Also, what's in the suitcase?
But the issue is Pegasus, being a powerful businessman, has used his magic eye to transform his brother Mokuba into a card. And that if he shoots him now, he will never get his brother back as a human man.
Yeah. Or boy. Or child.
I just feel like if your whole business can be stolen from you by having your little brother taken away, like, maybe just keep him as a card, laminate him, and put him in, like, a safe or some shit.
Kaiba would never do that. He's very honorable. Well, but evil, but honorable.
He cares about his brother, at least.
He's a tough teenager who has a gun.
He's like teenage Bulma, right? He's just like the richest boy sort in of. The whole world, but for some reason he goes to public school.
And he has a bunch of skills that like no 15-year-old would have, realistically, by that point. But yeah.
The thing that sticks in my craw about this is they have this back and forth where Pegasus is like, isn't that right, Kaiba boy? You'll have to beat old Yugi to get your brother back. And if you do, I promise I'll give him back. And it's like, you have nothing to go on there. Like, this guy's promise is worthless. He has a magic eye that tells only lies.
Yeah.
You gotta have a plan if you're a strategist.
He's got no choice, Alex. He has no leverage. What can he do? He has to play this game. He has no choice. Honestly,
this is just like such a small part of the episode before the thing that we have to talk about for 20 minutes that I'm going to just let it go.
He calls Kaiba a monster. Kaiba calls Pegasus a monster. And Pegasus says, I'm quite human. In fact, I'm just incredibly gifted, which is full. That's horseshit. He's not gifted. He has a fucking eye, and it's a relic.
He's blessed.
And like, once again,
he's not using.
Yeah,
he wasn't born with his magic.
Unrelated. He has a huge penis.
He's like, actually, Kaiba, I fucked my way to the top.
How do you think I met Croquet?
And then Kaiba's like, "Hey, why are you doing this?" And Pegasus is like, reasons.
For shits and giggles, Kaiba.
You know, just because I like to watch you squirm. Or for reasons you can't possibly comprehend. And it looks at the camera. And I'm like, it's probably the former. But
I have anxiety, Kaiba. I can't help what I do.
Oh my god. It's ableist to call me an asshole, Kaiba.
If I don't put children in a car, I freeze up for 10 minutes at a time.
Okay.
The baby faces leave the cave, and Joey's like, hey, fresh air, finally. And then immediately, Bakura's Millennium Ring points at the castle. It gets a little baby erection to the castle.
Which is like, look, use your eyes first.
It's like the most you're right out so next much. To the castle. You don't need the ring to see this fucking thing.
Right.
You've been in tunnels that go one way.
Is the most confusing character to me on this show.
So confusing.
Like, what are you doing here again?
He's like a seed they planted, but then like forgot to water. Like, they just every now and then like, oh yeah, yeah. Right. Remember we planted that? Well.
I think he's like, if the studio gave them notes that the show has to be like 6 episodes longer, they'll be like, we'll add a useless guy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll or do like, 3 episodes with him and then he'll just say stuff.
From this show that doesn't exist that they keep flashing back to? Like, is he supposed to be more emotionally important to me if I saw Yu-Gi-Oh! Zero or whatever?
I think probably. I think he would also give Yugi's character more context.
It's just so insane to me that they just imported this show, put it on Fox, and then there's just like whole swaths of it that is referencing something that no one in the United States has ever seen. It's so fucking weird.
That's how they onboard you.
But that honestly, like, that's pretty much that works the same as negging, because I do want to know more.
Well, it's just like, you know how parents, when like Pokemon first came out, they're like, it sounds like you're not speaking English to me, kid, but I want to support you. But like Yu-Gi-Oh, you literally don't have a chance of understanding it.
You don't have a ghost of a chance.
No, you really don't
have a ghost of a chance.
Well, and now we go into about 10 minutes of Taya in her monologuing.
Yes, Megan origins.
So. okay.
Megan's okay. Like, hey, Yugi, do you think you really could rescue your grandpa? And he's like, well, I rescued your bitch ass, didn't I? And then they flash back to her working at Johnny Rockets.
Yeah.
Where she lied about her age to get the job.
Right.
Like she was like going into the stripper. Army in 1930. She was like, I'm 5 years older than I look.
Yeah.
There's no paperwork for it, but I'm saving up for dance lessons.
She's going to move to New York City and learn how to dance, see?
Right, which is like right away, like, I mean, I don't want to be that Kai to Megan, but it is tough competition in New York City.
And also, okay? Megan, did you even get into the program yet, or are you just banking on showing up? Because, sweetie, Juilliard doesn't take just anyone, okay?
No.
Yeah.
Also, she says she wants to be a ballerina and she's working at a burger joint. Sister, I don't think so.
If you want to be a ballerina, go ahead and take a time machine back to when you were 6 and start, I think would be probably the way to do it.
Yeah, it's
so sad how she lives her life.
It's a high floor. Let's get into there.
It's so sad. I'm sorry, thing, Lawson. You can
no,
just
it's fine.
Show now. I just
it's this so just, sad.
When
though.
This was happening, I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
No, you guys are completely on board. I just also don't want to miss the part where Taya definitely has like thirst for the Pharaoh version of Yami.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, because like she's like, you know, it's weird when Yugi starts to duel, he looks all different. And like we've made fun of this before, everyone has, about how do people not notice that he's
a foot taller?
A foot
they
taller
have a
and
full
his,
conversation
his
about
voice
it.
Is deeper.
Where yeah, she's but, like yeah. She goes, like, Yugi, sometimes it's like you're a different person, and he says, yeah, I feel like there's something inside of me.
He does say that.
Yes. And then he goes, you don't think I'm losing it, do you? And that's when you go, yeah, we gotta like see a psychiatrist or something. But she just goes,
this
no,
show is
I like
House
both
of Leaves. Like, it's unclear how much anyone knows. You forget more as you go forward.
Yeah.
Yugi does not know about the Pharaoh somehow
who is,
now.
Is anyone like are is someone gaslighting someone in this show, or are they all insane?
It's gaslighting is what it
he
is.
He literally transforms. Well, I'll get to it later. I'll get to it. But anyway.
I have a question, though. I really did not realize that Yugi did not realize about the
yes.
Pharaoh. I thought they were working in tandem with each other.
Right. No, that's what... Yeah, this. You're correct. This is... I've always assumed that to be the case as well, which is what makes this so weird. He's like, yeah, it's weird. It's like I've become different. I don't know. It's like, what do you mean?
You're always yelling Yu-Gi-Oh! And transforming.
Well, and there was that whole episode that they refer to where when the Pharaoh Yugi was playing against Bakura, but baby Yugi was on the board and they were talking to each other.
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
And Yugi, he was given orders by Yami Yugi to be the Dark Magician. And then there was this other when, so Taya was gonna get mugged in a warehouse, and then Yugi showed up but got beat up, but then then Taya bit the guy. That was also
well, the situation is
yeah,
she's in the freezer.
Yeah, I think.
Okay,
and Johnny Rockets.
I don't know if this is supposed
this
to be.
This is in the flashback where
yeah,
she's
yeah.
waitressing at Johnny Rockets and it's like, my dream is to become a 30-year-old yeah. ballerina. And they're like, we support you.
Yeah, the so, first thing that happens, her friends come to visit her and then she like throws their food in the trash and is like, you're going to get me fired. And they're like, Jesus Christ. And then she goes in the back room and there's like the Johnny Rockets murderer waiting for her. He's trying to rob her of all her Johnny Rockets money.
Yeah, I know how to rob all the Johnny Rockets.
Yeah, $5.50 an hour is all mine.
It's all mine. Hand it over, sweetheart. So then she bites the dude, and then she three throws her to the wall, she gets knocked out, and then Yami kicks out at 2, and he's like, yo, let's play a card game.
I'll play a card game for this robbery, and the guy's like,
ever,
yeah, of course.
You ever, like, as I watched this, I didn't realize how dumb this was until I said it just now. When I said it out loud, Right. So he says, "Hey, Mugger, let's play a card game." And then the guy goes, "Sure."
It sounds easy enough. That was his main concern. Is he's like, "I don't want to learn too much right now. I'm in the middle of something."
And then Yami's like, "Well, the rules are easy." He's like, "Oh, okay, I'm intrigued."
It takes only 45 minutes to learn, and you'll be collecting your favorite birds.
And whoever draws the better card wins. And he's like, "Ah, I drew the cursed dragon." And then Yugi's like, "I drew the dark magician." It's always the dark magician. So I win. The guy's like, "Well, I'm still going to rob you." And Yami's like, "Nah." And he mind crushes him.
Mind obliterate.
What is the mind crush? Has this been talked about earlier on the show?
He sends your brain to hell.
What the fuck does it mean? He breaks your inner psyche. You become a shell of a person. That's why Kaiba disappeared at the beginning of the series, because he ruined him as a man.
It's a worse punishment than death.
Back to the current plot line. Taya's like, "What did you do?" And he's like, "I don't know." It's like, you literally destroyed a man. You tore his mind asunder. He probably became nonverbal and locked himself in a cell for the rest of his life.
Yeah. You ever hear what happens to the Johnny Rockets?
Bandit.
He just mutters in a cell from now on.
Also the other big lore thing that I just think we have to really clarify here, because this is a big episode for this. Yugi goes unconscious when Yami Yugi comes out,
apparently.
So yeah. He does not remember any of the episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh that have happened.
He thinks he's doing a great job.
Wait, I'm just realizing. Hold on, you're right, Alex. This is so. What's happening all these duels? Then
does he just get into the? There are twins flipping around, and he's like, "Oh yeah," and then he just wakes up. Everyone's high fiving him, and he's like, "Yeah, yeah."
He goes to start a duel, and then when he reawakens, he's won the duel every time.
He thinks Yu-Gi-Oh is just like a game of naps.
he doesn't remember ever playing the game.
He knows nothing about the game.
Holy shit. Anyway, Kaiba's waiting at the castle looking all cool or whatever. And then he challenges Yugi to a duel. Yugi's like, "I don't have to duel you. I got 10 star chips, motherfucker. What do you got? You ain't got shit."
And then Kaiba's like, "Please."
That was so funny because it was one of the few times where I'm like, "Yeah, this is sensical." He's like, "Yeah, I don't have to duel you." There's nothing. But then Kaiba does this thing that I think is very funny, where he goes from being like, "I'm gonna kick your ass," being like, "Please,
you have to duel me.
You have to duel me, Yuki. I need to save Moku." He doesn't say that. He doesn't tell him why he has to.
"I'm a big brother."
He says the winds of change are coming. Shout out to Wade Barrett. And
he also says, the heart of the cards. It's a thing I believe in now. And it feels very much like
what? What do you mean? Why?
It feels very much like I dumped this dude after two dates because I was like, "I don't really think you're emotionally prepared for my lifestyle." And then he showed up at the door. He's like, "I read a book. I'm ready." Like, no, you're not.
I can top deck anything now, please.
I learned how to top deck. I learned the secret of top decking.
My brother is in a card.
Throw off.
All of Yugi's friends. Oh, man.
Really right, aggressive hiccups from laughing too hard. I'm afraid I'm gonna puke everyone.
Everyone calm down.
Yeah.
It's just Kaiba.
Just a guy at my door being like, "I know how to top deck, please, Katie. Please.
I know how to top deck."
This is so fucking funny to me.
"I learned how to top deck.
Please."
Oh Christ. Anyway. All of Yugi's friends rightfully tell him he does not have to do this, but Yugi's a stupid babyface, so he gets goaded by Kaiba, and Kaiba's like, "Hey, also, you don't have Exodia anymore, you bitch. I'm gonna beat you now. And also, he, like, Joey's still a dog.
Makes it about his grandfather, where he's like, my grandfather would want me to. I guess he did, like, dunk his grandfather into the grave that one time.
Also, Yuki, no, your grandfather wants you to go and save him from Kaiba. From Pegasus, true. I mean. He doesn't give a fuck about Kaiba.
He's like, I appreciate you thinking about my honor, but please get me out of the television.
I'm stuck in the TV.
Because, by the way, once again, as always, I gotta bring up, where is Grandpa's body right now?
He's slumped in the couch.
Where is his body?
Somebody is watering it like a plant at the house.
He's slumped over. He's propped up to look like it's a real Weekend at Bernie's situation. He's propped up.
When he doesn't have his soul, does he still have bodily functions? Like, does someone need to come change Grandpa's diaper? Like, what the
fuck? I mean, no one is. No one is. So
Don't worry, they don't shit in the TV.
Yeah, he's going to have a rude awakening when he gets his soul put back.
He's like, I'm covered in feces, Yuki.
Kaiba still calls Joey a chihuahua.
Yeah, Joey, I love this callback here.
Yeah.
By the way, you're a dog. Arf, arf. Just kidding.
Then Kaiba has an inner monologue, which confused me, because he goes like, that's right, Yuki did beat me the first time. But how he did it was a mystery. I'm like, no, wasn't he summoning Exodia? What do you mean?
It happened right in front of you. Everyone was there.
It was one of his cards that did it.
Yeah. And yeah, he's like, I believe in the heart of the cards now. And then Yugi's like, I believe that he believes in the heart of the cards now. And everyone's like,
we gotta fight, I guess.
And then Bandit Keith shows up. He's like, look, I stole these star chips. I mean, won these star chips. And the guy's like, we don't have rules. It doesn't matter. Go ahead. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. Anyway,
he's like, you're one of two adults on this island we invited, so you can really do whatever you want.
Yeah. You beat up some kids, we don't care. So then he goes to the roof to check out the duel. Yugi does the full transformation, and this is where I was like, this whole thing they did in the first half of the episode made no sense. Because, like, yeah, he screams Yu-Gi-Oh! And transforms. This would be like if people were like, hey, Goku, you ever feel different? He's like, yeah, sometimes I transform into a blonde with 50 times my power level. And,
but I don't remember it.
Someone beat Frieza. It could have been anyone. I don't know who it was. Anyway, so Yugi and Kaiba, they wager 5 chips each. They're going to use the dual discs and...
The dual disc, by the way, just a quick reminder, you have to throw like a big, like, dinner plate sized disc every time you play a card.
Right.
And also, a new feature, the dual discs display your hand in 5-foot long tall projections in front of you. So all of Yugi's friends behind him could be like, I see his hand.
That's true.
It's huge.
That's a good point. That's a good point. He's got 2 blue eyes already.
Shit.
Yeah, Ben and Keith is here. So then Yugi starts with Curse of Dragon. Kaiba plays Ryukishin, and he's like, why don't you attack my card, Yugi, if you're so good? If you're so good at duel monsters, why don't you attack my card? And Yugi gets baited. He's like, all right, fine, I'll attack your card. And he attacks Ryukishin, destroys him. And Kaiba's like, you fool! You played right into my hand!
My favorite thing on this show is when the battles start, and they're like, pretty good move. I see why you're such a good player. And it's like, he just played a monster. It's literally how all of the turns go.
Literally what a child would do if they had the same card. Like,
there is no difference between this and any other turn anyone has played.
You played a monster card. Oh, you're pretty good at this game.
You're a worldwide talent, Yugi.
You didn't take the card and rip it in half or use it to jerk off or something else.
If you had an anxiety disorder where you're afraid of not eating the cards, you might have eaten the card. But that wasn't the case.
Oh, the regional champion would take the card and wipe his ass and then play it. But you, you just played the card. You're truly skilled.
We call him shit-ass broccoli.
So, Kaiba plays Sword Stalker, weird name, but basically his gimmick is here's the thing about this. So he top decks Swordstalker. So I guess he does know the heart of the cards now. But like, he's like, yeah, I baited you, Yugi. And then he top decks the thing that would be good now.
Yeah.
Which is Swordstalker. And he's like, ah, now I play Swordstalker, which because you killed my monster, it's strong now. I don't get how this card works.
Like, I don't either.
What?
Did they say this, or did I just assume what it like takes your dead monster's power and adds
it? But what are the rules? Just like any dead monster, like, or the last one? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like,
it's not important. What's important is with the heart of the cards, you can draw any card you like, isn't that? Yeah,
the heart
cool?
of cards is the power where you cheat all the time.
Right. So I guess you play it and he's stronger now and he kills. Well, he attacks the cursed dragon. Mm. But Swerve, Yugi plays monster replace for Dark Magician. So Dark Magician destroys Swordstalker. And Kaiba's down to 1,500 life points. And Yugi says the iconic "your move, Kaiba" line.
Right.
It's been memed.
So, icon.
Your move. Anyway, Kaiba plays Lajin. He's a mystical genie. He's like, I'm going to show you some real magic because I have a genie now. Why don't you attack my genie with your Dark Magician? It's like, yo, we just went through this. So,
yeah, bro.
So Yugi attacks and he's like, Swerve, I have an ancient lamp. It deflects your attack back at the cursed dragon.
He walked right into that ancient lamp.
Yeah. Yeah.
With its lamp powers.
He played a genie and then put it in a lamp.
This is again one of those cards where it's like, does the lamp work with non-genies, or is it just a genie-only lamp?
Right.
Is this a genie deck?
Is the theme also the mechanics? I'm not sure, but yeah.
This episode is about ludonarrative dissonance. What's in the game? What's in the story?
Is it in you? The Curse of Dragon's dead now, but then Yugi's like, oh, we're both 1,500. Kaiba, we're evenly matched. And Kaiba's like, you fool! I'm only baiting you in so I can summon my ultimate creature, the Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon. And we see like an image of Kaiba posing in front of Hydra Blue
Eyes.
It's
a dragon. It's got three heads. And when you play all three Blue Eyes white dragons, they become the Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon. I don't know if there's like another card you got to play too, or if it's just like these dragons.
It's some sort of polymerization bullshit.
I feel like our podcast is a Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon.
Why didn't he do that the first time they dueled?
Because I think he was gonna.
I think he was gonna win anyway without doing that.
The Dark Magician kills one of them too, so that's probably what was.
Oh right, true. He couldn't. Yeah,
that's why he's saving it, and it's a really solid play from Kaiba, a top player. I want to see what he's got up his sleeve in this exciting next two duels in this three-part Kaiba duel arc.
Wait, there's two more episodes of him doing?
That's right.
Cool.
And you're saying, well, what about Megan's origin? Shouldn't we get 3 to 4 more episodes of that?
I want to see a dance.
Yeah, when is she going to dance?
We haven't seen her dance one time, and she's like, I'm the most talented dancer of our generation. I have to flee the country. Yeah. She's so full of herself. I hate her.
Dude, Jesus, Alex. She's just a girl with a dream. A stupid dream. And a
you
stupid
just
girl,
think she's but... not like other girls because she hangs out with Joey. And it's like, you're not like other girls because those girls don't want to hang out with you, Megan.
You think she's a pick me girl? Is that what you're saying, Alex?
She's definitely a pick me girl. They didn't even invite her. She just like tagged along on this whole thing.
It's so sad.
Didn't play Yu-Gi-Oh.
No.
That's true, but who in the show has an older brother? It's Megan, because of how she acts.
That wraps up Yu-Gi-Oh! 22. What did you think about a 7 Dragon Balls? Katie Rose Leon, what did you think?
I did experience a lot of emotions. It was interesting to find out that Yugi has not been conscious for 75% of this program. That really actually explains a lot of his decision making.
It's how the show is intended to be viewed.
You know, I will say Yu-Gi-Oh is very loud and colorful, so it is like there's always something going on. 4 out of 7. It was fine. It was stupid. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible.
Sure. Alex Patak?
Katie's really right about how there's always something going on. Big episode for lore updates. Don't really think there was a great reason why Kaiba and Yugi are fighting, and so that's going to cost you some points, as Yugi logically should just walk past Kaiba and fight Pegasus. But these are top duelists. I'm hoping I can learn a lot from watching them. This is a big week for the seasonal, and I just want to see how it all plays out. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 7.
Word. Yeah, I mean, Yugi and Kaiba, they're like the Wrestle Kingdom semi-main. It was like the the IC title match, right? So I guess you got to run it back for the... But also, yeah, so Yugi is a valiant babyface, so he's going to play Kaiba anyway. The thing is, though, they could have got away from this if, like, Yugi could have only had, like, 5 star chips at this point in the show. And then he would have actually had to play Kaiba.
There are so many ways he could have had to play Guybrush.
They decided to not do that. And also, just as I was reading the part out loud where the Yugi tells the mugger to play a card game with him. 5 out of 7. Great episode. Great episode. Thumbs up. Loved it.
Really solid.
Good stuff.
Well, what a Yugi, what an O.
What a Yugi, what an O.
Truly.
The heart of the cards. You can't, don't stand a ghost of a chance.
I've got Wingspan up on Steam. It's only $20. It's pretty good.
Oh, it's in the computer? I saw him playing it for real.
There's a real one and a computer one.
Oh.
Okay. Interested yet?
Well, if there's a computer one, I'm never going to come play with you in real life.
No.
So...
You've been owned, Alex.
You have to. Lawson's right here.
Wait, what?
He can come over and we can all right play. There.
That's true. That's a good point. That is big facts. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up. I hope you at home are taking notes on this stuff. A lot of big information coming out this week. And keep it breezy. It's January, baby. New year, new me. Let's go.
Let's go.